We're so excited to actually see faces in service with us this morning. We're missing everybody who's still at home. Thank you for standing with us as we go to the Lord in worship.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Orphan, a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Just lift up our voices to you today. We lift up our hands to you. Lord, we lift up our hearts to you and we say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Lord, we praise you today. For greater is he that's in us, Lord, than he that's in the world. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, we are just excited to be in this house worshiping you today. And Lord, we ask right now that you'd place your hand upon each element of this service. Place your hand upon each person in this room and place your hand upon each person watching online today. Lord, may you pour your anointing out upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, we're glad to have you. We're glad to have everybody that's watching online. We know that in the coming weeks that this our family here at the church will continue to grow as attendance gets bigger and bigger. And I love what the video says this is God's house. This is where His people meet. And this is home. It's been home. Amen. So, man, I'm telling you what, it's like, I don't know how many of you and your families have a family reunion, but today was like, I couldn't wait. I went this morning to Starbucks to get coffee, and I think it's good it wasn't open. Because if I had to combine the energy I already have with Starbucks, I might have just right through the roof. So, I think it was maybe the Lord's providence that I didn't have Starbucks today. I am pumped and excited to see you. And I'm excited to see you whether we've known each other forever or whether this is your first time here. And if you're a visitor this morning and you just come to check us out, maybe you just saw that we were open today, or maybe you been watching online. You're like, you know what, that Pastor Steve, he isn't a heretic, you know. And I don't care what, you know, the Noble Community page says. No, I'm teasing. And you've come to visit with us. We have visitor cards. Normally, we have ushers, but we're doing things a little different. The visitor cards are on our back table right back there. And we would love it if you would, before the service is over, before you leave, if you'd fill one of those out and just stick it in the box that's back there. That gives us a record of your attendance and lets us know that you came to hang out with us today. And we're excited about that. Who's excited? Come on. Come on. Come on. Even Don's excited. Come on. Don's excited. You're not asleep over there, are you? All right, good, 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 good. We are excited to be back in church here with all of you, and I have a few announcements for you. There's a lot of things happening in our youth department, a lot of things that have changed around, and so I'm just going to hit them really quick, but if you have a young person, what I would like to do is when service is over, if we would kind of space out in this section, I'd like to talk to all the parents, because we don't have youth service yet, and so I need to talk about, we have youth camp coming up. It got moved from June to July, and our kids camps have been canceled for this year, but we're still doing youth camps, so I want to talk about that. We have a missions trip to Denver that we still are moving forward with. People still need to hear the gospel, people. All right, amen? And so we're going to be talking about that. And we have Senior Sunday that'll be happening June 14th, and so there's just a lot of details to work out. And so since some of you are here, I can talk to you just face-to-face. If you would just, those of you that would involve, any of that would involve you, if you'll just meet me here in the center right after church, we're going to talk about that. And we got a baby shower table for our children's pastor and his wife, Chad and Amanda Terrell. And you may have seen it on the way in. Love for you to bless them. They're having twins. And as of right now, the plan is for them to take the babies not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. So we're just like 10 days away from Uncle Phil having twins. All right. So I name myself that. I don't know if that's actually an official title, but I'm excited about that. And so they do a lot around here, Pastor Chad and Amanda, and we want to love on them and bless them. And so I know we've been in a pandemic, but we can still bless our church family. And so there's a table out there, and it'll be out there next Sunday. Love for you to get them a gift and just tell them, hey, we're supporting you. Well, I don't know any other announcements right now, but I do know this, that this would be the normal time for tithe and offering. And how many are missing greeting already? Anybody missing greeting? How many of you are like, you know what? All right, yeah. How many of you are like, you know what? I'm okay with no greeting. All right. Yeah, you know who you are. Be ashamed. All right, no, I'm teasing. We won't be doing greeting for a little while, but our tithe and offering, instead of passing the plate, what we're going to do is we've got the tithe and offering box in the back, and so you can still stay faithful in your giving by giving of the tithe and offering if you're here in the service in the back, or online at nobleassembly.com, or you can bring it by the church, or fourth option, we'll send pastor. All right, and he can come get it from you. And we've had a few of you have asked us to come pick it up. Any of that is fine. The most important thing to us is this, is that we continue to worship God through our giving, remain faithful and obedient to Him. Amen? Amen. Would you stand as we pray? We're going to pray over the tithe and offering anyway and go right back in to worship, all right? Lord, we just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, I praise you first of all, Lord, for keeping us healthy, keeping us safe. Lord, we give you the glory for that. We thank you, Lord, for the faces we see here in the sanctuary today. But Lord, we also thank you for all of our family who are watching from online today. Lord, we thank you that we can continue to serve you, continue to spread the gospel, continue to be one family. And Lord, we ask right now you'd bless the tithe and offering, multiply it so others would come to know about you. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't breathe in. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph.
Victory, for the battle belongs to you.
worship you. And Father, we have battles in our life that we just bring to you this morning. We just lay them at your feet, believing and trusting that if we ask, that we will receive. We'll receive an answer, Father, Lord. And we just want this morning just let you know that you are worthy of all of our praise, that you have been so good to each and every one of us through this pandemic that we've experienced, that you've had your hand on us, that you provided for us. And we just want to worship you and just praise your name, for you are worthy. We just give you glory and honor this morning, Jesus. And we just thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and our
so good to me. Yes.
God is so good. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you here this morning. I have some specific prayer requests before we're seated that I'd like for us to stand and pray about. Pray for the Oliver Grider family. This is Shelley Helms' stepdad. Oliver went to the Lord about this time last Sunday. As we were praying, he went off to heaven, and so his memorial service will be May the 26th at 2 o'clock at the Noble Church of Christ, where he attended. So let's remember the Grider and Helms family. Lee Francher is very, very sick. His wife Mary is here this morning, asks us to pray for him. He's having some trouble with his heart. Some parts of his heart is not working right. He's been at the hospital, been at ER. He is home right now, but let's pray for Lee this morning. Kelvin and Debbie Winter's daughter Erin is going in on Tuesday to have her induced for labor for a baby. So let's pray for all that to go well and for this little one to be born healthy and for Aaron to be okay. Maddie Clark has been really sick. We want to pray for Maddie. The Lord would touch her. George Smith's brother Carl. George texted me this morning to lift up his brother Carl. He's been in and out of the hospital several times. We need the Lord to touch him today. And we're still believing for a healing in our land, amen, for our virus that's happening, for the economy, for families have been affected. Spiritually, we need the Lord to touch our land, most of all, amen. So let's agree together in prayer for these needs today. Father, we come to you as a church family, as a church body. We just lift up these needs to you this morning. We pray that you would just touch the Grider family, the Helms family. Lord, just give them your peace and your comfort, we pray. Father, we just lift up Lee this morning. We pray that you would touch him and heal his body, heal his heart in the name of Jesus, Lord. Even now as we pray, may he feel the power of the Lord come upon him and touch him and heal him. Lord, be with Erin on Tuesday. I pray, Father God, for a safe delivery of her baby, Lord. And we just pray for a healthy mom. We pray for all to go well. We pray for Maddie this morning that you would reach down and touch her and heal her, Father God. Minister to her right now, even as we pray for her. We ask that you touch her. We pray for Carl Smith. We pray that you would touch him today. Help him and heal him. Minister to his need. And Father, we do pray for our land today. We pray for a healing in our nation. We pray for a healing physically, spiritually, mentally, economically, in every way, God. We just pray your kingdom come and your will be done right here in our land and in our world. We pray, Lord, that lives are changed, that lives are touched, that something good happens as a result of the negative and the bad things that have been going on in people's lives and across our land. We pray that you turn those to something good. And Lord, we just pray as your church that you would heal our land as we humble ourselves and pray. And as we turn from our own wicked ways, Lord, we turn and call upon you to touch and heal our land. Bless our leaders, Lord. Bless Israel today. Bless your church. Bless us as we worship you in spirit and in truth on this Lord's Day all over the world. We thank you, Lord, for the churches that are getting back together and meeting once again in the house of the Lord. We just thank you, Father God, for a healing in our land. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. As we said, it's been a long 9 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks since we've seen you, but it's so good to be back here in the house of the Lord and with you. I know there's several that aren't yet able to be here, but they will be in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Finally, hopefully in the first Sunday in June, we will all be back in the house of the Lord together as we just continue to pray for all that is affecting our land to be taken care of. Amen. Amen. Praise and worship excited me this morning. Michelle and I did not confer on what she was going to sing and what I was going to preach, but it couldn't have matched more perfectly. I thought, Lord, you worked that out. You knew what needed to be said and what needed to be sung. And so, Michelle, thank you for listening to the Lord and choosing those songs this morning, because the title of the message this morning is Because You Prayed. Because You Prayed. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37. I'm going to read two verses, verse 21 and 22. And I confer with Pastor Phil, it is easier to preach with people out there. A couple of Sundays, we put puppets out there. I mean, there was puppets all over. And they would have stood, but no one would give them a hand. So, you know. All right, let's get serious now. Isaiah 37, 21 and 22. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you prayed. Say that with me. Because you prayed. Because you prayed about King Sennacherib of Assyria, the Lord has spoken this word against him. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word today, and we pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, minister to each and every person. You know where we're all at spiritually and what we need to hear and what we need to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you are alive and a personal God that cares about each one of us. So, Father, we pray your message today would go forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you prayed. Wow, what a powerful encouragement to the power of prayer and to the fact that God sees our actions and God sees what's happening in our lives. Isn't that awesome? God knows. This whole thing we've been going through in our nation was no surprise to God. God sees and God knows what's happening in church. We serve an alive God. Can you shout amen? We serve an alive God. He was alive when King Hezekiah called upon him. He was alive. He's alive now, and he will always be alive to see and hear and know what's happening in our lives. I want us to look at the setting of these verses and see what was happening here. I just read you the two, but let me kind of tell you what's going on here in Isaiah 37. The brutal Assyrian king, King Sennacherib, had threatened that he's going to come into Israel, he's going to come into Judah, Jerusalem, and he's going to destroy Jerusalem. He is going to destroy Israel. He's going to take over the nation of Judah, just like he did many, many other nations. He sends the king, King Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah at the time, he gives him a message and says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to take you out. There's not going to be anything left of Judah after we march across your land. Well, King Hezekiah gets very alarmed. It says in verse 1 of chapter 37, when King Hezekiah heard the report, he tore his clothes. He put on burlap and he went into the temple of the Lord. He got really alarmed because this was a very, very bad message that he was getting, that an evil king was going to come and take out his nation just like they had did many other nations. Well, when Hezekiah hears this, he sends a message to the prophet Isaiah. He gets some of his leaders together. He goes, I want you to go find the prophet Isaiah and tell him what's going on. So they leave and go do that. And while they are gone, he gets another message from Sennacherib. Look at Isaiah 37 verse 10. It says, this message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God in whom you trust deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well what the king of Assyria have done wherever they have gone. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? Have the gods of other nations rescued them, such nations as Gozan, Haran, Rezpah, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? My predecessors destroyed them all. What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? What happened to the kings of Sevarvim, Hena, and Iva? Why couldn't these towns be easy like Lexington and Noble? Anyway, not that we want our towns destroyed, but anyway. So this is the message that King Hezekiah got. Now, I want you to notice in verse 14 what Hezekiah did after he read the message. In verse 14, it says, after Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't panic. He didn't say, that's it, we're done. We're done. We're going to be killed. This is it. This is the end of the world. No, what did he do? It says he went to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. And then he prayed. And the next few verses, it shows the prayer that he prayed, asking God for help against this powerful, powerful threat. Then we come to our text that we just read a moment ago. Let me read it again. After he prayed, it says, then Isaiah, because remember, he had sent a word to him. He'd sent a message to the prophet to tell him what's happening. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you prayed about King Sennacherib of Assyria, the Lord has spoken this word against him. And then we read the word that the Lord spoke against this threatening king. He says, the virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. The daughter of Jerusalem shakes her head in derision as you flee. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing? Against whom did you raise your voice? And whom did you look with such haughty eyes? It was the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers, you have defied the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots, I have conquered the highest mountains. Yes, the remotest peaks of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars and its finest cypress trees. I have reached its farthest heights and explored its deepest forests. I have dug wells in many foreign lands and refreshed myself with their water. With the sole of my foot, I stopped up all the rivers of Egypt. But have you not heard? I decided this long ago. Long ago I planned it, and now I'm making it happen. I planned for you to crush fortified cities into heaps of rubble. That is why their people have so little power and are frightened and confused. They are as weak as grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on a housetop, scorched before it can grow lush and tall. But I know you well. Where you stay, and the Lord is saying this to the enemy, I know you well, where you stay and when you come and go. I know the way you have raged against me, and because of your raging against me and your arrogance, which I have heard for myself, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. I will make you return by the same road on which you came. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, here is the proof that what I say is true. This year you will eat only what grows up by itself, and next year you will eat what springs up from that. But in the third year you will plant crops and harvest them. You will tend vineyards and eat their fruit. And you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will put down roots in your own soil and grow up and flourish. For a remnant of my people was spread out from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road on which he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. For my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend the city and protect it. Because you prayed about King Sennacherib, the Lord has spoken. Because you prayed, the Lord says, I will act. And he speaks out these 14 verses to tell us that it's foolish to think that you are greater than God. It's foolish to think that you can mess with God's people and you can mess with God's property and get by with it. Amen? So let's just see what the Lord says In verses 22 to 35, we just read that. I got ahead of myself here. But the Lord didn't just talk. Sorry, Kate, I probably got you messed up on the verses. Anyway, I jumped ahead. Go back to where we stopped reading, verse 36. The Lord didn't just talk. Look what happened. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185 Assyrian soldiers. He didn't wait, did he? He says, that night, King Hezekiah called upon the Lord, and that night, after the Lord spoke, he sent an angel. Didn't even say several angels. One angel went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That's the approximate number of Marines that are in the U.S. military. I was trying to find a different town or something that had 185,000 to give you a point of reference, looked up different populations, couldn't find one exactly, but I looked up how many people are in the military in the U.S., and it gave all these numbers, and it had it broken down. And the number of Marines in the U.S. stationed around the world was 185,000. So it'd be like the Lord in one moment took out every single Marine at one time. And then it says, when the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. One day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nisroch, his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, killed him with their swords. They then escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son, Esarhaddon, became the next king of Assyria. That night, the Lord came to the rescue of King Hezekiah. As a child of God, you are his property, amen? And in his family, and he will come to your rescue as you call upon him. The three words there in verse 21 show us the best place to go with our worries and our fears. And that place is the place of prayer. Because you prayed. Because you prayed. That king went home on the same route that he came, just as the prophet said. He went in, all of his men died, even the king lost his life. God does things well, doesn't he? When we turn our concerns, our worries, our fears into prayer, we will discover that God is faithful in very unexpected ways. In very unexpected ways. In the New Testament, Paul the Apostle says it like this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Big or small, don't worry about anything. God will take care. We are to pray about everything. It doesn't have to be a huge thing for God to pray, for you to pray to God to help you. I have to tell you this. I was trying to decide whether I wanted to tell you this because it was kind of embarrassing to me. But that's okay. I embarrass myself a lot. So, a month or two ago, I was driving the Tahoe, and I went to adjust the seat, the little lever on the side that adjusts the back of the seat, and it broke. It broke off in my hand. Oh, that's great. Now the seat's stuck, you know. So I said, hey, Caleb, you know how to do this where do you order stuff from? Amazon. Thank you. I knew it was some river. No. No. You know how to get a part on Amazon, because if I go to the dealership, it's going to cost me an arm and a leg just for a little plastic handle. So he got on Amazon, and he got the part, and it came in. He called me a couple of days ago. Hey, Dad, your part's in. And I said, great. Well, I'll get it. So I got and paid him for it. And yesterday morning, I thought, I'm going to put that part on. Now, my father is very mechanically inclined, very carpentry inclined, you know, can do about anything. My son, Caleb, is much like that, much like his grandpa. He can figure it all out. He can do all that. Somehow the talent to be able to fix things skipped me, you know. It was with my dad. It skipped this generation and went to my son, Caleb. And so I thought, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to fix this handle. So I get out there and it's got this little clip that you got to clip on there to hold the handle on. So I'm out there and I'm trying to mess with it. It's not happening. I thought, I can't get my little needle nose pliers in there enough to fix that, get that clip on there. I thought, how do you do that? Because Caleb had worked on the seat a year or two ago and had taken it apart. He put it back. I thought, my son did it. I'm 58 years old. Why can't I do it? You know, the guy at the dealership, I'm sure he could do it. Guys that work on cars and fix interiors, they do it all the time. Why can't I do this? So anyway, finally I went in the house. I told Craig, I can't do it. Forget it. I called Caleb. I said, Caleb, you're going to have to fix this handle. I can't get it on there. He said, okay, Dad, I'll do it. Well, I'm in there. I go to my office at my house, and I'm starting to finish my sermon here. I'm talking about prayer. In fact, I think it's about the time I wrote those verses I just read, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Pray about anything. I thought, Lord. I started getting under conviction. Lord, you can help me, and you've helped me with a lot of things in life. Can you help me fix this seat on my Tahoe? So I thought, told Carol, I'm going back out there. I'm going to fix this thing. I said, Lord Jesus, this is a small thing, but it would mean a huge thing to me if you could help me fix this handle. It's so simple, but I can't seem to get it done. I don't want to be embarrassed to have to call Caleb back and say, yeah, definitely you got to do it. I tried again, couldn't do it. So I remembered something that Caleb told me. He said, Dad, anytime you want to fix something, the best thing you can do, if you can't figure it out, is go to YouTube. I thought, why didn't I think of that? So I get my phone out and I punch in, how do you put a seat handle on it? I thought they're going to think, they're going to take it that, you know, that's too long a word. Anyway, sure enough, there was a little video on how to put a handle on a Tahoe that adjusts your seat. Well, there was a particular little part that you had to take off that holds a seat belt in place that I didn't know about. I took that off and I could see easily how to do it. And about 2 minutes, I had that thing on. I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I feel better. Lord, I thank you for helping me. So I give credit to me fixing that to my son and the Lord for helping me to get that Tahoe handle fixed. Caleb said, Dad, that's probably going to end up in the sermon tomorrow. I said, oh, I don't know. I might tell that. But it did. God is interested in the little and in the big. He's interested in an army's coming in, going to take your land. When a virus has come across our land that's taken a toll on a lot of people's lives, God is interested in even how to put a Tahoe handle on your seat. He can help you do it. Dr. Helen Roosevelt, missionary to Zaire, told the following story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, If God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll. And so she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier had a ladies' group to include both of those specific articles, the hot water bottle and a baby doll. Church, God sees and God hears. Because this little girl and others prayed, and God knew they would pray in his divine omniscience, he answered 5 months earlier. You see, God knows, because he is omniscient, what I'm going to do 5 months from now. He knows what I'm going to be facing 5 months from now. He already knows if I'm going to stop and pray and seek his face about it. God already knows. In essence, the Lord said to these girls, because you prayed about this little baby and her sister whose mother died, I have spoken to meet this need. And the same is true for you today. Because you prayed about, put what you want to in that blank. Because you prayed about blank, the Lord has spoken to meet your need. I would grant you this morning, the Lord longs and looks and waits and anticipates your prayers for what you need. So just as King Hezekiah said, the Lord told him, because you prayed about King Sennacherib of Assyria, the Lord has spoken. Again, fill in your blank. Because you prayed about, the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will take care of your need. What is threatening you today? What is weighing you down? What is shaking you up, causing you to worry or causing you to be anxious? Give it to the Lord. There's a lot of stuff happening in our world right now. We are living in unprecedented times, and it's so easy to let fear and worry control your life. But we must be quick to do what King Hezekiah did and what the little girl did from the mission in Zaire. We must spread it out. We must spread it out before the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. I'm praying about this. I need your help. I'm calling upon you, Lord, right now for your help, for my family, for my friend, for this sickness, for this financial need, for this need in the job, for our country, Lord. We are crying out for you to help us. I want to tell you, God doesn't love King Hezekiah any more than he loves you this morning. He longs to hear from his kids. We must spread it out before the Lord and pray. We must pray, Lord, bend down, Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And he will respond. In Acts chapter 12, there's a story of Peter, who was put in prison for being a Christian. It wasn't just for preaching. The early church experienced some persecution, and King Herod Agrippa, he began to persecute the church, and he killed James. The Apostle James, you know, brother of John, he had him killed. And then he said, I'm gonna kill Peter too. So he imprisoned Peter there in the prison. Let's see what it says here. Acts 12:6. That night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. Then the angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of his wrist. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left them. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. Now, there's a verse. That's an amazing story, isn't it? But I intentionally skipped a verse that I want to come back to that sets the stage for this amazing miracle. Look at verse 5. Very important verse for what we just read. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. While Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. As Thomas Watson put it, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. The angel may have got Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that got the angel to do the job. Prayer is powerful. The most powerful thing we can do in light of anything, even this world crisis caused by this virus and the fear of it, is to pray. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for wisdom and for righteousness and truth to prevail over the evil intentions and agendas, both of Satan and the weapons and even people he uses to destroy and upset our country and other countries. We can pray. Just as King Hezekiah prayed and spread it out before the Lord, church, it's time for us to spread this whole thing out before the Lord and pray. A.C. Dixon in Evangelism, A Biblical Approach, writes this: when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do, and so on. Nor am I disposed to undervalue any of these things in their proper place, but when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. Amen. Is anything too hard for God? Seriously, we may not have 185,000 Assyrian soldiers led by an evil king that's threatening us, but we do have an enemy threatening to destroy our lives and freedoms that we need to pray about. We do have an enemy out there. His goal is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And even beyond that, we have people all around us that Jesus loves and died for that are lost in sin and will spend eternity in hell unless we get on our knees and we intercede for their souls to be saved. We must pray for their eyes to be opened. We must pray for their hearts to be softened to the hope and the light of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be people in heaven one day because you prayed. And there will be people in hell one day because we didn't. E.M. Bounds, the great prayer leader and author, said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." And I would add men and women, Christians whom the Lord can rely on to pray so His will and His plans can be accomplished. Because you prayed, God moved. Musicians, would you come? In conclusion, I would like to share with you an account about the practice of early African converts. Early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where they would pour out their heart to God. Now listen to me here. Over time, the paths to these places where they would pour out their heart to God would become well-worn. The grass would get mad. It would become like a trail. Anytime you continue walking down the same path or driving down the same path over deep grass, it will mat down and you will see where you have walked and where you have traveled. As a result, if one of the believers begin to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. Why was that? Because the grass would pop back up. There wasn't the path there any longer. And they would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother or sister, the grass grows on your path." That's the question for us all today. Is there grass growing on your path to the place of prayer? Or is the place where you pray readily seen? Remember, the Lord sees and hears, and when we don't pray, there are things that do not take place that otherwise would. Let me ask you a couple questions. If King Hezekiah had not prayed, but only panicked, when he heard about King Sennacherib and all the army coming against Jerusalem and Judah, had he not prayed, I believe that Sennacherib would have been successful in taking down Judah, right? Had he not prayed? Had he panicked? Well, we're done. Because the Lord said, because you prayed, Hezekiah, I am acting because you prayed. If the little girl hadn't prayed in faith in Zaire, would the baby have lived or died? I think the baby probably would have died because they wouldn't have had a hot water bottle. And maybe the little sister or the big sister would have died too because she didn't have the little baby doll. I don't know. The Lord certainly wouldn't have moved upon the ladies group to send the hot water bottle and the baby if he knew there was not going to be a prayer for it. See, the Lord sees, remember, the Lord sees on down the way. The Lord knew that that little girl was going to pray for that hot water bottle and that baby. And so before he knew that was going to happen, he moved upon the hearts of those ladies to send what was needed to that country in Zaire. Because they prayed, the Lord answered. Let me ask you another question. If the church in Jerusalem hadn't prayed when Peter was put in prison, if they would have gathered together and said, well, old Pete's gone, let's have some fish, let's play some backgammon, let's play some Monopoly. I don't know what they did in their spare time. But if they had played instead of prayed, if they hadn't taken serious the fact that their brother was in prison and they hadn't prayed about it, Peter probably would have died right there. That was the king's intention. We know he died later, a martyr, crucified upside down, but he would have died earlier than what was planned. If we don't pray for a healing in our land, what will be the result? If the church doesn't see, in a sense, the writing on the wall to pray for America, to pray for what's happening, what will happen? Finally, if we don't pray for the lost around us, will we be held accountable for their blood, as Ezekiel 33 talks about? Let's be people of prayer. And one day, we just may hear someone say, because you prayed, I'm here in heaven today. Thank you. Somebody's going to walk up to you in heaven. You prayed for me, and I thank you because I'm here today because you prayed. I think the biggest thing that the church, and I include myself as part of this, that we don't understand is the true power of prayer. If we really understood how powerful prayer is, we would pray more. I would pray more. But I think we just, it's so mind-boggling to comprehend it and to understand how prayer works. But you know what? We don't have to understand it to know it works. I don't understand how my truck works necessarily, but I'm going to get in it in a little while. That's going to take me home. I can't explain to it how all the cylinders work and the electronic ignition and all that, but I know it works. The same as prayer. We don't have to understand how it works. We just know it works, and we just need to pray. Amen. So whatever's on your heart this morning, whatever you're facing in your home, in your job, with your finances, with your marriage, with a friend, with a loved one, with somebody that you know that's lost, whatever it is that we're facing, pray. Because the Lord says, because you prayed about this, I answer. And most of all, I want to hear the Lord Himself say, Steve, because you prayed, I did some things. How many of you want to hear the Lord say one day when you get to heaven, because you prayed, Shane, I did some things in you. because you prayed, Jack, I did some things that otherwise wouldn't have gotten done. I don't know why God does it that way, but somehow he connects us into the equation. He just doesn't act on his own. He wants to, but he works within the authority and the way he set it up to work through believers. What happens in Noble? What happens to the churches in Noble and Norman? It will be a direct result as to how bad we pray and how earnest we pray. The number of people saved, the number of people healed, the number of chairs that are full on any given Sunday morning is directly proportionate to the prayers of God's people. Because you prayed. Because you prayed, I will act. Father God, I thank you, Lord, today for reminding us of the power of prayer. Help us, Lord, to realize we have an amazing, extraordinary, wonderful, perplexing in such a way, amazing avenue for power and for provision and for peace and for help in our time of need. And it's in prayer. It's coming to you in prayer. We don't have to settle for things the way they are. We don't just have to settle for it. But we can take it to the Lord in prayer because you will answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, the most important prayer you can pray is, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new person. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. If that's you today, I pray that you pray that prayer even now and that you invite the Lord to be your Savior and your healer and your help. Thank you, Jesus. The worship team is going to come back and sing one last song. The altars are open. If you would like to come and pray around these altars, you can. Just kind of space yourself out a little bit, but these are open. But let us be reminded, because this song they're about to sing talks about this very thing, about prayer. You call, I'll answer. Hallelujah.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, my whole life.
need is right now, would you just lift it up to the Lord? Just do like this. If you've got a need on your heart right now, just in essence, just lift it up to the Lord. Lord, here's my need right now. Lord, I want to unburden myself of this. You told me to cast all my cares upon you because you care for me. So, Lord, right now I lay that burden. I lay that burden upon you, Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Heavenly Father. You're my shepherd, my Savior. And Lord, I just leave my burdens with you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in your word. And I'm going to believe that because I prayed, you answered. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just give the Lord praise this morning. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your will be done. Hallelujah. God bless you today. Have a great, great rest of the day. See you next Sunday.